What's up, Blue Roof Nation, and welcome back to Blue Roof Casting. I know it's been a long, long time, but we're back. I'm your host, Jonathan. I kind of wanted to start doing this thing where I interview filmmakers, whether they're professional, aspiring, just people who want to make films, who love film like I do and want to be in the industry or near the industry, and kind of getting their perspective on it, getting their opinion on it, getting their thoughts on it, essentially. So I thought to try out this new format, I would start with my friend Trey Keys. He was actually one of the hosts of this podcast when it started way back when, all those years ago. So this is my interview with him. I hope you guys enjoy. Till next time. All right, so what first got you interested in film?
Well, the thing that first got me interested in film would have to be really just my childhood experiences moving forward with movies. You know, I've always had that that moviegoer passion about me, wanting to go to movie theaters and see whatever they had out, even if the movie sucked or if it was great. I always just loved the experience of actually being there.
Can you remember some of these early movies that you saw? That
I think one of the earliest movies I can remember, one movie that I remember in particular was, I can't tell if it was either Pinocchio or Forrest Gump. I remember, like...
That's a big difference.
Well, like, it reminded me of, like the two were smashed together. Like, I remember seeing, like, there was this little boy, he was running, so I'm definitely thinking that was Forrest Gump, but then I also remember that same little boy's nose growing hella long. So, I cannot, like... I can't tell if that maybe that was a smash-up of the two movies, or maybe I'm just remembering two different times or something.
I have an experience like that. Every time I watch Lion King or Speed, I always think of the other one.
Yeah.
Because I went with my mom to the drive-in to watch Speed, and Lion King was playing on the theater on the other side. So I sat backwards and watched Lion King with the audio from Speed playing in the car.
But it's one of those experiences, really, that really, you know, made me have a passion for film. Like, I remember seeing the first reboot for Planet of the Apes. You know, like...
The Tim Burton one?
Mark one.
Yeah, with Mark Wahlberg. And I was like... I don't remember if I liked it or not, but I remember seeing it.
You did. You probably did.
It's a horrible movie.
You know, I saw it as a kid, so more than likely, I probably liked it.
Yeah. You ever seen the original ones before that, or...?
I never saw the original ones before that. I saw, like, clips, like, where the guy's, like, in the sand, and he's like, "You bastards, you blew it up!" Like that, I remember that. That's it.
So do you remember, like, a moment when you realize, like, people make these, that they don't just happen, like that it's an art form. There's people working on them. And...
You know, I think I came to that conclusion around the same time that, you know, came to the conclusion about, like, music. You know, like most teenage boys more specifically, like, you get to that age where you're like, hey, let's make a band. and you realize, holy shit, people actually make these. They're not just these things that just appear on the radio. There's work that goes into that. And you discover how they do it, and it's that sort of feeling transitioned over into film. I'm like, holy crap, you can make this with the camera and some dialogue and a few actors. So I think once that I realized it was doable to actually make these, it made me want to go into film.
Were there any, like, specific films or any specific people that got you into it?
I would say more specifically probably Quentin Tarantino that got me into making films. Like, Pulp Fiction, oh man, to this day, that is still, like, probably my favorite movie.
Did you see the poster on the stairs on the way up here?
Yes, I saw the poster. So I know there are like-minded fans in high school. So, yeah.
So did, like, whenever you discover Quentin Tarantino, did you just dive into all his work, or...?
Yes. You know, I was like, you know what, I gotta have all these movies, take notes, and see if I could, you know, take something from the movie-going experience of just watching one of them. And, you know, one thing that I noticed was just, like, you know, dialogue. It's a heavy part of making characters feel realistic.
It's dialogue.
So,
go ahead.
So, like, what are you interested in more? Are you interested more in, like, the camera work as far as directing a movie? Or are you interested more in the writing and screenplay part of it, so where you want to write the scripts?
To be honest, both. My goal in the long run is to become a writer/director. I want to be able to write the material that all the actors are going over, and then also be able to you know, direct them on to be able to make the writing come to life.
Okay, but which one do you want to do first?
I would say writing. The reason I would say writing is because in regards to the actual, like, filming of it, I mean, you could film a piece of doo-doo and it wouldn't have the same impact as actually, you know, having the kind of material that would cause these films to be so great.
So you feel that the writing is the heart and soul of the story?
When I mean the camera part, I mean, like, actual, like, director photography. Like not, like, telling the actors what to do. Like, I mean, filming,
like,
the actual camera.
Holding the camera.
Yeah,
she's asking
choosing.
If you want to be more like Robert Rodriguez, who shoots his own films.
Yes.
Himself.
Yeah.
Whereas Quentin has a DP.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Well, now, I would say that being able to hold the camera, I think that is an awesome aspect. Like, I would like to be able to do that, but at the same time, though, I've seen a lot of the skills that go into that,
yeah,
being able to, you know, tricky camera work, spinning,
yeah,
it around, and just making it look like this really art form of, like, say, like, watching ballet or something like that. I can see that there's definitely a lot that goes into it more than just hitting the record button. So
I find that, like, when I was starting out, I had no interest in running the camera. Like, I just wanted to write and direct, kind of like how you're,
yeah,
saying. And then I found myself forced to do camera work on other people's projects and,
yeah,
stuff like that. And you'll be amazed at how much of the storytelling you can tell with simple camera movements.
Yeah,
and you can have whole other layers to it.
And
so now, even when I'm not running the camera and I'm just directing, I still like to give a lot of input into what I want the shot to do.
Yeah.
I don't know, you find that there's a lot more that you can tell with the story when you actually get behind the camera.
Yeah.
Have you directed anything yourself? Or I know you've written a lot of scripts, and I've,
yeah,
read some of them, really good. But
in terms of actually, like, I mean, I did, like, a brief semi-directing ones, you know, helping on an earlier skit, but nothing really major. Nothing outside of that. I haven't really, I think really the most that I've actually had to, you know, go into, like, actual film work is just writing and even helping a little bit with casting for certain roles, but that's about it.
So of your own projects, have you gotten any off the ground?
One film in particular, this film called Nightcap, which we're still waiting on the release. It should be sometime this month. So
what did you do on that?
Well, I wrote for that film and had say in a few of the casting choices.
So. Okay. So, what?
Do you like to read?
You know, it's interesting. I write scripts, but I don't really like to read. So
do you read comic books or novels?
I read comic books, yeah. Like, you know, I read the Naruto mangas, I think a few Death Notes, and The Walking Dead. Yeah.
What about novels? Not.
I've read a few Harry Potter books, Goosebumps, just like, you know, stuff that you would read when you're a kid. I have read quite a few, like, controversial books, like One Nation, and that's just recently. You know, didn't do that out of fun or anything. Yeah.
Okay.
So if you don't read a lot, where do you get the inspiration for your stories?
Inspiration, really, it starts off as, like, I say, like, kind of like maybe a pitch sitting, you know, like you're sitting down and you're saying, like, what if? And then it takes off from there, you know, like, it even helps to, like, sometimes put on that movie theater voice for the trailers, where, like, in a world where movies have this going on. And then all of a sudden you come up with this idea that has so much in it, so stupid, and you start to kind of pick and choose pieces from that and expand it over several other movies.
So you find that ideas kind of come fully formed?
Hold on.
So do you feel that ideas come fully formed, or do you have to build it as you go?
You kind of have to build it, because sometimes you'll come up with one idea that has too many creative choices in it, where you're like, it's going this way and it's going that way, and overall it makes this mess of a movie. But, you know, if you take some stuff out, you find that as a movie, it's stronger that way. You know, like less is more kind of thing.
Yeah.
And the ideas that you don't use, you save for something else.
Something else. So what I'm trying to get at, like, when you pitch ideas and pitch ideas until you come on one you like.
Yeah.
You don't get inspiration from, like, movies
and
TV shows.
Well, of course, you always get inspiration from things, you know, whether it's a video game or a movie or a book or, you know, newspapers or something along those lines. Sometimes you just hear something and you're thinking, like, wow, what if, you know, I could do a movie off of this? Like, I think one movie that I've been trying to, you know, work on for some time is this movie about Christian missionaries, where the main character in the movie gets one of his kidneys removed, and now he has to try to rescue all of his friends as well as take on this this drug cartel in Mexico. I thought it would be a pretty intense movie, but at the same time, I don't want it to just be like this action-driven thing. You know,
you want it to be character-driven.
Yeah, character-driven dialogue, really get emotionally invested in the story, rather than just this. I don't want to name drop any movies or anything, but you know, like nothing just this totally crazy and defies all logic.
So you feel that character-driven stories are far superior to plot-driven stories.
Yeah, and I think sometimes that gets a little tangled up. Like, you start off with the plot, and then you have all these characters,
yeah.
And then you're trying to follow the plot, but the characters, they wouldn't naturally follow anything like that, and it sometimes ends up making it like, wait a minute, this doesn't make any sense. So you have to go back and start changing things as you go along, so.
So, yeah, I agree with that. I think that the characters should drive the plot.
It's life.
Huh?
It's life.
The characters should drive the plot. I don't think the plot should force the characters into action.
Yeah.
Do you outline your stories when you sit down to write them? Or?
Yeah, I initially start off with like a nice little outline of like, hey, I wanted to start like this, and I wanted these certain characters to do this, 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 and this all the way up to the ending, and then I'll start writing from there. And depending on the actions that these characters do, like just based off their personality and the things that they say, I start working around that, and depending on what these characters do, the plot will start to evolve around it.
Do you find I know personally, I find that I never finished with the same outline that I started with.
Oh yeah.
Do you find that like it changes
yeah.
drastically?
That happens pretty often. Sometimes the ending will somewhat stay the same, but the things that will happen to get to that point will often change a lot. Like I recently wrote a film called Leathernecks, and you know, it was basically just about Vietnam War vets, and the story was pretty badass, but, like, I had this idea for, well, I didn't have an idea for ending. There's, like, three main characters, so I didn't know what the ending was going to be, and I get to this point where I'm like, damn, I kind of want to wrap this up. What should I do? So I was like, no, I'm just going to have everyone just get shot and just call it a day, and, you know, then I start to think back on it, I'm like, I don't know, it needs to be a little more than that, you know, like, something that would feel more natural, and then you start asking questions like, wait a minute, does that make sense? And you're like, oh no, so I have to change that. So it sometimes on the writing aspect of you know, being a filmmaker, sometimes you're like, wow, I gotta change this, because if other people can see it, you know, then it's bad.
Do you
have like a certain style or genre that you lean towards? Like, do you want like all your products to be like all dark or all like love or all, like just, you know, in particular, like just all of one thing or mostly all of one thing?
I would say that most of my films genre wise probably lean more towards a crime thriller, but lately I've been really trying to branch out from just that, just to, you know, on a set of like challenging myself. It's one thing when you know for a fact, hey, I could write this any day of the week, I could write a crime thriller, no problem. But, you know, like, maybe it's time to actually challenge myself, branch out in maybe a romance or something, like a cop movie, a comedy or something along those lines. Those movies could actually be a bit of a challenge for me. So those are the ones that I'm really trying to focus on. Like, I've done cultural pieces, which, like, the first cultural piece that I did was actually also kind of a crime thriller in a way, too. It was about Yakuza. You know? So it was like I wanted to do more than just some sort of stereotypical thing about Japanese people knowing martial arts or some shit like that. I wanted to really go into the cultural aspect of it. So I really dove into that material. So.
Do you have a follow-up? Or? Do you find that, what draws you to crime thrillers? Like, out of everything you could write, why does that seem to draw your attention?
Well, I don't know. I think it's something about it that really just, like, really, like, grabs me and gets me invested in it, where it's like, you know, I'm constantly thinking, like, oh, well, what if this happened next, or what if this happened? You know, it's something that constantly keeps me excited to want to write it, whereas to, like, you know, if you're writing a film where you're not too interested in the things that are happening in it, like, maybe not so much as, like, you don't find them interesting because you think it's bad or anything like that, but, like, you as a person just aren't into that kind of thing. You know, let's say, like, you know, I'm into crime movies, but, you know, then if I go and write a romance, that might be a little difficult in terms of, you know, I don't even like chick flicks, so how am I going to sit down and write a romance? But I guess that's where the challenge comes from. So,
do you find that your work is autobiographical? Like, do you find that you put yourself in the characters a lot?
I definitely find that I put myself into the characters. I draw from my real life experiences. I recently had got into this conversation. Basically they're saying, like, well, you know, don't you think that's, like, wrong in a way to be able to, you know, base certain characters off of people that you actually know who may be embarrassed by a certain situation? Well, I mean, I think that, you know, that I would argue that's why it's based off of them. That's, you know, their name is not attached to it in any kind of way. It's not, you know, focusing on every action that person did. Now, if you could sit there and say, hey, that's me in this movie, then shit, you gotta be embarrassed, because you know you let that happen. But you know, the goal is really to make the character seem real, but at the same time not actually be that person.
I think you should. I think there's nothing wrong with basing characters off somewhere, as long as that character is not that person.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It goes back to the whole, like, write what you know, and I think that it's not necessarily right. Like, oh well, I went through this, let me write that. But it's, I've been through this emotionally.
Yeah.
Like, you can base any story off something that you've been through emotionally.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of where that comes from.
Yeah. I totally feel like if you had a personal connection with the story, like, say, you know, you were in it and you encountered that person and that's how that situation happened, you know, write it. You know, that's how you really, it's part of expression. Like, you're trying to get something out, you know, how you felt about it. I'm not saying that, you know, go in on that person or anything like that, but definitely, you know, like I said, just base it off the whole situation. You know, the main character itself may be based off of you, the other character may be based off the other person, but it's not supposed to be straight up that person.
Yeah.
Before you know it, you're giving them the exact same name, their the address, the locations.
And then that person's, like, address, okay, in there, okay.
Like social security number, like, yeah, okay, that's straight up that person.
How many people's social security number do you know?
None. But I'm just saying, like, you know, as an example, that would be, like, definitely saying, like, this is this person. That is not a secret at all. So,
where are you from originally? Are you from Texas? Are you from California?
I'm originally from California. I was born in Santa Clara.
When did you move to Texas?
I moved to Texas in 2005.
So how old were you at that time?
I was 13.
So how old were you when you started to realize that you wanted to do film?
How old was I? Well, I remember I started writing when I was in the fifth grade. And I don't think I actually realized that I wanted to do film until around the point where I started working at Trader's Village, which was, I think I was like 19 then. So,
yeah, because I remember you coming up to me, and
because, like, I had finally, you know, I had wrote this one script, and I was like, man, I would love to see this thing, like, in an actual movie, and,
is that Shit Happens, or?
Yeah, it was Shit Happens. I was like, you know, because I remember that movie was just, like, it was special, like, in the way that, you know, someone my age had already come up with something like that, you know, so I was like, this could be a pretty big project, I don't know, but since then, That script has, like, dissolved, like...
What? You had, like, four?
Yeah.
You had a whole, whole like world mapped out for that.
I had a whole universe based around it, but I ended up dissolving it because I was doing other movies that were based, you know, that were connected to it, and it didn't flow as well as I wanted it to, and I felt like it could be better if it was you know, more realistic and you know, flowed smoother, I guess. I don't know if that makes any sense.
Yeah, kind of.
Sometimes you just end up breaking down stories. I can't see, thinking back on it, I can't see what problems I had with it. But
I mean, I only read like two of them, but they were pretty good. Like, yeah.
I think what it is as we get older and we evolve as writers, creators, that our interests slightly change, and yeah. And we require more from our own selves. So, you know, looking back on it, I was like, I don't know. I don't think that, you know, this shows my level of skill now. You know, I feel like this is definitely something that was okay for where I was at that time. But, you know, now it's kind of like, it's not enough.
Do you, so when you were in Texas, now you're out in California. Where are you at in California?
I'm currently in Redding, California.
So while you were in Texas, how did you find, like, the film community, people who were trying to make films? Like, did you ever reach out to anybody?
Well, the only film community I actually found was, you know, through Jonathan and you, and you know, the people that that he associated with.
And that was back when I didn't know anybody.
there really wasn't a whole huge following of filmgoers out in Texas, at least not that I ever encountered. But being in California, I feel like you can almost just walk around the corner and find someone. It's like I remember I was out in San Francisco going up in an elevator, and there's two people talking about how they work in movies. And I was like, oh, wow, that wasn't hard to find these people. And, you know, it's easy in that way, like, just in class. You know, I was talking about how I had seen, you know, this one movie, and this one lady was like, holy shit, you make movies? Well, let's work together. You know, it happens pretty fast like that. You can just bump into people who make movies.
So you've met a lot of people then, I take it, or?
Yeah, I've already worked with a huge group of people who are already heavy into doing, like, YouTube vids. They hadn't done anything too great, you know, I don't want to, you know, bad mouth or anything like that. But, you know, I'd say that the project that I wrote for them was probably the biggest thing they've done so far. So, you know, I hope that's not tooting my own horn or anything like that. I'm just saying, I by comparison, I feel like it may have been better.
So is that the only group you've worked with? Have you worked with other groups too? Or?
I've only worked with two groups, those guys and of course, you know, Jonathan out here.
And it's just as a writer with them or?
Just as a writer. Occasionally, you know, side, directing, but I have never really been like a full position in the front controlling every aspect of it.
Have you ever, tried to branch out to other things, like do some grip work, do some gaffing, lights,
like
worked with lighting or audio, or...
acting.
I've done a little bit of acting. I did acting in my own first like little side project. It was a movie called Walker's Island, and it wasn't that great.
Your acting or the movie?
Yeah,
let's not go down that road.
I'm not gonna. I think the acting was, like, moderately decent, but just as a movie itself, it just wasn't that great because it started to fall apart in the sense of commitment, you know.
He ran into the same problem with Walker's Island that we've run into with Trapped in the Woods, where people's interest and investment in it kind of dissipated, and where we went, okay, well, let's take a step back and reevaluate what we have and where we need to go. Trey went, no, I'm going to finish this. So he kind of started cutting corners.
Yeah.
Like, there's one point where Elizabeth and Fabian, you met them, right? He went and found a Mexican couple getting married footage, and he put it in pretending it was them. And you can tell clear as day that it's not them.
Yeah. Well, see, what I had came to the conclusion was the movie that I was making was supposed to be a found footage zombie movie. Where, basically, because we were using found footage, the quality of the movie could be pretty crappy. You know, like, almost intentionally. You know, like, there's so many found footage movies where it's like, we don't have to put any kind of cinematography effort behind this. It could just be crap, and people will still take it just as long as they feel like they're a part of it. So, you know, that's where it came in. I was like, you know what? I'm going to start cutting some corners because I already have, like, some scenes that are establishing what we're doing and what's going on. All I need to do is just kind of pick and piece and add things and take some things out, and it could work for a semi-okay movie. So, and then once I had finished it, I had actually decided to just cut it up into episodes because it felt like it was a little more easier to sit through and enjoy. Like, actually, had a semi-screening for, like, the first episode.
Really?
At my brother's house. Like, for some reason, everybody wanted to see it. I didn't want to show it, because, to be honest, I was embarrassed.
How did it go?
It went surprisingly well.
The one you saw me, I was kind of like,
Okay, so the episode they seen was basically just the setup. And the setup was, you know, the wedding, the crappy wedding. Of course, everybody pointed that out. He's like, that is totally not them. But it wasn't in there long enough, really, for them to, you know, to really think about it. It was funny. They liked it, so.
You had good parts. The parts that you actually filmed were really good. Yeah. It's just whenever you were, like, cutting corners, it's like, okay, this doesn't fit. But, like, I remember we went to the airport, and you filmed there, and that stuff, that seemed really good, too.
Yeah.
I thought I thought it was really interesting the way, like, you had an outline. But then you kind of were like, okay, let's toss it on, like, let's just improv everything.
Yeah.
I think it went kind of interesting places. I don't know how, if that necessarily worked well towards getting to the overall plot, but...
To be honest, I felt like the improv may have been better than the actual script. Like, because when I think back on the script, you know, of course, you know, I was, a different writer then. And when I was working on that script, I felt like... Like you pointed out, it was one of the where they were just kind of going from place to place to place with all these different horrible events happening, and you know, just seeing who was going to be alive at the end. There was no real character development or anything like that, and I felt like when we were improvising it, it actually had character development, and it felt more realistic to a degree, even though
the direction you gave was essentially be yourself in this chain of events.
Well, that's because that's what the goal was. Because I realized I'm working with my friends on this movie. None of my friends are actors. So if they can play themselves, that would be easier to make this movie. That way, it's like, hey, you don't have any lines. Just be yourself. Say what you would normally say in a stupid-ass situation like this. Be realistic. Because people love it when people act realistically. Like, say, if you have a horror movie and, the guy says, hey, let's go to this creepy-ass place where a whole bunch of people died. And, and naturally, the black guy is like, I wouldn't go to that shit. Especially if you told me.
A bunch of people died there.
Exactly. Because that's just one of those realistic things. So, like, if people can realistically react, how they would react in a situation like this, people would be more interested in it. So, you know, I felt like once I got that underway, that it would be great. So, we have, like, the scene between me and Rashad, where we're basically in this room, the lights are all out, and we're having this conversation about whether or not we should focus more on our own survival or the survival of our entire group. Because as the older brother, my responsibility is just to protect him. So, we have this conversation, and it felt like there was more connection there. Like, there was more, like you could actually buy that we were brothers.
Yeah.
And, you know, you really get that connection throughout the whole movie. Actually, I felt like that was probably, like, the strongest thing about it was just seeing that two connection between these brothers trying to survive. And, like, sure, you know, you have the other characters in there as well, but because, you know, their parts weren't as consistent, you know, with everything that's going on, like, this movie expanded over so much amount of time, like, shit, at the beginning of the movie, I have braces, and at the end, I do not. Like, okay. Like,
that's how my hair changed a couple times.
Yeah, I was wearing a totally different haircut and everything, so, yeah, I got the haircut on the plane. Like, don't worry about it.
So, I think that's the problem, too, is that, it's been my experience that the longer span you have to film your project, the more unforeseen obstacles will come in your way.
Exactly.
It's I find that on our own projects that me and Ashley work on, if we have a weekend to do it, it will come out great.
Yeah.
If we have all the time in the world to do it, it hardly ever gets finished.
Yeah. I think that's what it is too. Maybe when you're first starting, you want, like, I hate to, you know, sound negative or anything like that, but it's like you want to, you know your limits, I guess. And, you know, you don't want to have limitations. You want to shoot for the stars on everything. But in the case of film, it's like, you know, if you're just starting and you have this great script and it spans over so much time, then you start to think, like, you know, you get all these people that are so pumped up to do it at first, but as the time goes on and you're filming it, you know, life starts to happen. People start getting pregnant, having babies, people move away, people get jobs, full-time jobs, and, you know, just life hits hard, and it really starts to make the movie kind of fall apart because their commitment at the beginning is not what it was. So it really falls apart in that way. So I think when it comes to, like, starting out, it always helps to maybe just start off with something small. You know, maybe something that does have the same kind of impact and commitment and passion that you would have in a major project, but just in a smaller story that doesn't, you know, have so many actors or, you know, require as much time. And that way, it's like you can get it done in those time frames. And I feel like the person that's the most committed to the project, like, it should always focus more on them because they're going to have the most scenes. And with them having the most scenes, you know that they're going to do them. So whereas, like, you know, you focus, like me, like, for Walker's Island, my initial plan was to focus on Fabian and Elizabeth and them getting married and experiencing, you know, these horrors together. But they end up, you know, having a baby, and that fucked it up. You know, congratulations on the baby, but yeah, fucked up the movie. So, you know, before you know it, she's not willing to be in the movie anymore, he's too busy, and you got to change focus now, so...
I find a lot of times that people want to make a movie until they find out that making a movie is a lot of work.
Yeah.
Last year, I worked on a feature. My first real feature wasn't mine. It was my friend's. Yeah. And I went on it as AD, but I ended up being cinematographer. I ended up being basically the key electrician. I ended up doing pretty much all the behind-the-scenes work. And making a film is a lot of work.
Yeah.
Like, you're constant, like, you end the day and you're just like, oh, shit, let me just pass out and sleep.
It's a legitimate job. Like, legitimate. You pay people to do hourly wages.
I mean, and people who work on films get paid a lot of money. When you get paid for it, like, a boom operator, it's like $500 a day.
Yeah, just to stand there and hold the microphone.
It is a real job, and I think people get blinded by the magic of it all.
Yeah.
That when they realize, like, oh shit, this is actually work, this is actually, like, a job, this is something I have to actually commit to.
Yeah.
They get scared and they don't want to do it anymore.
And I think that's where it comes into, like, if, you know, if you're working on a major production like that, it's like you have to work with people who are committed to doing this as a job, you know, moving forward with the rest of their lives. Because, you know, going into it, sure, at the time it makes the most sense to go with friends to do these kind of projects, but if they're not committed to actually doing it with their lives, and this is something that's going to take place over a large span of time, then, you know, they're kind of like, well, don't get me wrong, you're my best friend, but I kind of want to go get some ass, so, you know, think we could reschedule or something, and it just messes up the whole thing.
Yeah, scheduling, like, I don't think people understand quite so much how important scheduling is, because a lot of people are like, well, something came up, I just can't do it today, can't we reschedule, you know, I'm free all next week. What they don't realize is, you might be free all next week, but now I have to go back and check with, like, 10
everyone
other people
else,
and find a time that matches all of their schedules as well as yours.
Yeah.
So when
and
you have a schedule locked down, you don't really want to move it, because it's a pain in the ass to find a new time to make it happen.
And that's why I say commitment to want to move forward in film is very important in the sense of trying to, you know, make schedules, because at least, you know, those people, if they're making schedules, then it's film-related. And, you know, nothing stupid like, oh, I just decided to sleep in today because I didn't feel like it, or, you know, or I had something else weird going on. I felt like going to the movies today. You know, something that just didn't need to happen.
Well, I've started to come into, in California, I guess you're doing mostly writing, right? So you're not really doing the production, producer work or anything like that. I've started to move off from just using friends and try to use, like, quote-unquote professional actors. And I find that some of the problems I've had with them is that I'm a student. We're doing student films. I'm not paying them.
Yeah.
You know, you give them a sample of the film for their demo reel, and, you know, you call it a day.
Yeah.
But then they get paying jobs, and then they're like, oh,
yeah,
well,
and they're
that's
more committed
for you
to the paying part.
And they just drop you, and it's like, well, we've already filmed all this, and I ran into that problem last semester where I kind of failed my class because my actors bailed on me last minute because they got paying jobs. To me, it's like, well, if you're committed, you should stay committed. Like,
yeah.
But I find that it's really hard to get people to sign on for something and to stay on it.
Yeah. That's why, you know, I say, like, you know, in the beginning, you know, smaller may be better, you know, less is more kind of thing, you know. Starting off with smaller projects that don't, you know, require so much time to go, you know, to be invested in it. Just because, like, yeah, you know, with the professional actors, yeah, sure, they want to work for that short period of time, especially if they have that kind of loyalty, but they're getting paid and they need to pay rent, then they're more willing to take the paying job over the job that they're basically doing an internship for. Yeah. So, yeah, that can be a bit of a hiccup when dealing with professionals, because they do have opportunities to get paying jobs. You know, you work with a person that's not professional, then the chances of them getting a paying job in film is, right off the bat, is highly unlikely. You know, but, yeah, not to discourage anybody, of course. But.
So, this project that you're working on in California, you wrote it? So when you wrote it, what happened? Like, so did they approach you, or did you approach them, or how?
Well, I think the way that whole process worked was, initially I was really just kind of knocking on doors, just, and I don't mean that literally, just kind of like just trying to figure out who was doing movies. You know, if this is California, it shouldn't be too hard. And, you know, I started off with the theater program at my school, Shasta College, and I ended up meeting some people who were like, hey, it turns out we need a writer, and we were wondering if you would be willing to write some stuff for us. They didn't know my resume or anything that I was doing. They just, you know, wanted somebody who could write. So I was like, okay, fine. I submitted one script, and you know, I already knew that they couldn't make it, just because it was Walker's Island.
Yeah.
You know, I knew I couldn't do it. So financially, I expected that they wouldn't be able to do it either.
Yeah, so, a helicopter crash in that script.
Yeah,
it's not gonna be
very easy. Some freaking plane crash in that movie. It's like, it's not happening. You need zombies. That is a shitload of zombies you need. It's not gonna happen. But, you know, they liked it, and they, in the sense that they wanted me to write something else for them. You know, they had an idea, and they had a few other people that were also going to help write with it. So they were like, basically, hey, we're going to have this guy write it, and then we want you to kind of clean up after them, fix it up, make it right. And I'm like, okay, I can do that.
It's kind of script doctor work.
Yeah. So, you know, I ended up starting the first line for the script. I believe, I think the first line was something like, hey, I was eating this girl's pussy, and it turns out that her carpet didn't match the drapes. So they were like, I love that line. I want it to be the first line in the movie. So I decided, you know what, I'm going to go ahead and just start writing, because I was having fun with it. You know, and I finished it, and I was like, hey, I'm done with the script. Here you go. It was like 2 days later. And I gave...
How long was the script?
The script, I think it was, I think maybe 30 pages, maybe, at the time, maybe. So I gave them the script, and they were like, bro, we loved it. We showed it to some people, you know, some other people who are more major in film production. However, they were saying that they wanted more. They wanted, you know, some more scenes in there. So I was like, I suppose I can go in and maybe add something. You know, it's like yeah, maybe do like a prequel to it or a sequel to it and just add on to it. And I was like, nah, fuck that. I'm just going to stick to what I have and just add more character development to it. You know, so I added some flashbacks and, you know, some things along that line. And they're like, all right, bro, it's perfect. We don't want you to do anything else to it.
How long was it when you finished with all that?
I think...
Was it more like a feature, or was it still a short
film? No, it was still a short film by length requirement. I would say it was about 30 minutes long, maybe.
Oh.
So, I think probably maybe 60 pages, maybe, around there. So, yeah, they loved it, and they decided to go into production on it during the summer. They started casting a whole bunch of people. I showed up for the casting because I wanted to make sure whoever was going to be in my movie, you know.
So did you have a say?
Yeah, I had a say. I chose the bartender for it. Bartender was perfect. I swear, he reminded me of Grandpa Max and Ben 10. I don't know if you're familiar with that at all. That's who he reminded me of. I was like, I want him to be the bartender. And, I started with everyone else. We had a whole bunch of casting people coming in. Some people were chosen from like theater classes and stuff like that. But overall, it ended up just being the main people who were doing the production on the film that were also starring in it. So, but it wasn't a huge flaw in it. They actually ended up casting me to play the lead character in it. And I felt pretty confident to do it. But at the time, though, scheduling conflicts again with all that. So I couldn't be in it. It had to be someone else. So they ended up casting someone else to play that role. I've seen the trailer for it. It looks like he's doing a pretty good job.
So you weren't on set?
I wasn't on set when they went into production. They were doing it during the summer, and I had to be at my uncle's. So, you know, totally different city. Couldn't be on set. town.
It's disappointing. I would not have let them make my movie without me on set.
Yeah, that was so killer because I really wanted to be there, you know, to see the whole thing. That way I could pick up on some skill sets, learn a few things, you know, about camera work and all that. But, you know, that's really what I wanted to do from the beginning, was just learn, be able to learn from this experience. And since I couldn't be on set, that kind of really took away the whole point of it. You know, so that messed with me a little bit. But, you know, yeah.
Still a cool experience.
Yeah, you know, just being able to have a say in a few of the actors and writing the whole story, perfect. You know, there is this one part that I hope that they had the common sense to take out, just because with one of the characters, they say something that's a reference to something they were supposed to say earlier, but I decided that the scene didn't make sense and cut it out.
So, but you forgot to cut the other scene out.
Yeah. Well, at least I forgot to cut out that piece of dialogue. But
I'm sure they'll realize, like, this doesn't flow, this doesn't make sense.
Hopefully. But, you know, I pointed it out to my fiance, and she was saying that it didn't detract from it, because people say stuff off camera all the time, so.
That's true. So if you started working with, are you going to do anything else with them, or?
Possibly. I may very well possibly be doing something with them later. Not sure. Just because of, they want a story that doesn't have blood or cussing or something that they can market. And like I said, that's one of those things that I haven't had too much experience with yet.
Yeah, that seems out of your wheelhouse.
I might be able to do it, but like I felt like it would really, really have to downgrade like of like what kind of stuff that I usually expect. You know, it'll probably have to be character driven, really dialogue based, no kind of blood and cussing in it. So it's doable. It's just a matter of figuring out what the story is and how much time I could, you know, cover with it. Like, it didn't have to be a short story anyway. So,
yeah.
You know, it would also have to be, you know, something that would be worth talking about, because otherwise it's like, why are we watching this?
Do you, so for this next project, do you want to take a bigger part in it, or are you good with just writing it and then moving on?
I want to take a bigger part in it, but for the most part, as of right now, I am good with just writing it, but I want to see it unfold. I want to see the actors on set, the camera, the lighting. I want to learn these things that way.
You never thought to go to school for it, or?
Well, I mean, like, I'm currently going to school, but not for film exactly. I'm going to school for mass communications, so, the reason I didn't go into school for film is just because, you know, I looked into it, and it's, from what I heard, it, like, employers don't take it too seriously.
They don't.
Like, you know, they see, hey, you got a degree in operating a camera, and they're like, big work. You know, who cares? So, you know, I wanted something on my resume that could be impressive, which would be communications. And seeing as it, you know, that the program at my school offers the ability to be able to learn some of these skill sets, it made perfect sense to be able to do it. So, yeah. It's not a big deal.
What you should do is you should take, like, do you have a camera? You have your own camera? Or?
I do have a camera that was actually lent to me by, you know, this girl that I work with. She saw that I was interested in film. She didn't really use it too much. It's pretty good quality. The voice on it, the you know, the microphone on it, it's pretty decent, but it's still want to get a, you know, like a professional. Like,
yeah, you shouldn't use camera. But you should play around with lights. Lights and audio are so important to film. Like, those are what you should pay attention to most, I think. Like, when you're learning, like, learn how to do those, and I think other stuff will follow. And then, but I mean, like, it sounds like you're doing pretty good. Like,
so it's definitely been a fun experience, and it's film is something that I could see myself doing in the long run. You know, for money, it's definitely something I could see myself doing. And I do look forward to that day where it's like I'm finally working on, you know, professional set, putting out a movie that's theatrically released in major theaters, and, you know.
So is that what you want to do? You want to make, like, major studio films, and you want to write and direct them?
Films, write, direct. I want to be able to do that. So, yeah, and I've already started, you know, writing my scripts, getting them prepared so that when the time comes, I have something to show. Like, hey, I've worked on this.
Thought about trying to get an agent, or?
That would probably be the best route to go, just to get an agent, but I'm not in a hurry. I'm still doing my schooling thing, and, you know, the way I see it, when the time comes to move forward with film, I'll probably end up moving closer to Los Angeles or something, just because that's like the source of it all. And even though I don't really want to live in Los Angeles,
dying to live in Los Angeles,
it's just not my place. I'm not my personality type is just not Los, you know, Angeles material. So but yeah, like I feel like when that time comes, you know, I'll have built up a nice little maybe a nice little fan base, a good networking system of people that I can work with, that I can call on to be able to work on projects.
And a demo reel,
you know, perfect for a portfolio, something to show these people, say, hey, that this guy actually has talent. Someone, hell, I could even possibly get work on maybe, you know, writing for TV or something like that, you know, with a group of other writers and be able to build from there. So it's really just a one step at a time thing. It's not, that's why I wanted to go to school first, because I didn't want to just jump head first into it, because, you know, they say that you don't need to go to school for film.
Yeah.
Which is very true, but a lot of times you try to go to Los Angeles with no kind of experience, and they're just kind of like, you're just sitting on a curb, washing windows, trying to give scripts out to people. Not doing that. I want to go through the right people first.
You have a plan.
Yeah. Yeah. Step by step.
All right, well, thank you for sitting down and talking with us.
So who lives in LA and who lives here that you keep going back and forth?
You said who lives in